Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. Hey, are we live today?
We are live. Ho, ho, ho. Happy holidays. You look very festive, my friend.
Oh, well, we try.
I know. I've got everything decked out in a physical set. Barb's got the virtual set. I love it. We're so much fun. This is fun. Hi, everybody. I know we've got at least one person out there watching us, so hopefully some more will join in. Needless to say, welcome to episode 191 and the celebration of our fourth anniversary of the Groom Pod, recorded on December 9th, 2018 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Amazon and Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Stazco, South Bark, and Evolution Shears. This week on the Groom Pod, I am going to learn all about operant conditioning on the table because I know nothing about this. All I know is that it didn't work with me. And our definition du jour is occlusive agent. And we're going to do a little discussion on what we wished we learned in grooming school. So this episode is sponsored by Stazco Conditioning Sprays. Find it at Groomers Mall and Ryan's Pet Supplies. You can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. Find all things Groom Pod related, including the Amazon banner and Patreon button at our website, www.thegroompod.com. Subscribe to the show. Share it with all your grooming buddies. All right, Barbara, how was your week?
My week was, I had an excellent week, made a little money, woo-hoo, did a little writing, Googled around some interesting topics. Yes, it was good. Excellent. It's all good. Yep. And managing to stay not stressed out.
Well, that's a huge plus. Yeah. So just like magic, every finger on my right hand split this week.
Oh, no.
But it was perfect timing because I got my little bottle of NexCare finger crack sealer stuff. And it's a tiny, teeny bottle, but it actually, it's kind of weird. It seems to solidify almost instantly when you get the brush out of the bottle. So that's how fast it seals. And they're not kidding. But then it doesn't really take to drying for like a minute, maybe even 2 minutes. You got to take it really slow because if you touch anything, you get stuck to it. It's basically liquid bandage times 10. And the first ingredient is a silicone. And I put it on and I went to work like normal and I was bathing away with my recirculating bathing system. And I noticed I was screaming when I left the house before I had put it on. And I noticed that I wasn't noticing my fingers. And doggone it, it kind of works.
Wow.
I mean, it's not perfect, but it actually seals the cracks up. It collects a little bit of debris so my fingers look even dirtier than they normally look, which, you know, I'm kind of a pig pen anyway. So it's not helping the situation out much. But it did seal the cracks up enough so I don't think they got worse. And then about halfway through the day, I noticed I was feeling them, so I reapplied it and went through the rest of the day without any problems. So it was $7.50 on Amazon. Go through the website, click on our Amazon banner, and give it a try if they've already cracked. Now, I know where my flaw was, and that is I've been doing nothing but eating salty snacks in my car, and I know that doesn't help because this is my salty snack hand. And even though it may not be the entire problem, it's proven to be part of the problem.
Yeah.
So I'm not willing to give up my potato chips or my newly discovered Chex Mix that I made myself with butter and Parmesan cheese. Oh my God, it's so good. And you cook it in the slow cooker, not in the oven. And then you put the cheese in later so the Parmesan cheese stays fresh and delicious. Oh God. Anyway, needless to say, I've been eating a lot of that and the goodies that people are giving me and all of that stuff. But I've got my gloves in the bottle. I'm doing that. So I don't think they're cracking any further. And then during the day when I'm working, instead of taping all my fingers up, because this is my scissoring hand and two of those fingers need to fit in the freaking holes, I'm doing this. And I think I'll give it a positive review so far. It does come off. It's not completely waterproof. So positive review. One negative review. The tube of hand protectant that I got at the big box store, the big box hardware store.
Right.
That is not waterproof. It's not the same as gloves in a bottle. I've got myself a bottle of it. Not to mention it came in a 12-ounce tube, but it was only 4 ounces in it, which it said it was 4 ounces, and way to use up your old tubes, but still.
Well, you know, there's a reason why those products end up at those places.
Yeah, it's more like O'Keefe's hand cream, which for me left my hands too sticky and didn't really protect much. So I'm still a proponent of gloves in the bottle. And now I'm going to throw this little NexCare crack filler in because, hey, why not? Yeah, right. $7.50.
Did I direct you to that NexCare crack filler? I thought I did. Yeah, well, good for me.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
I was impressed. Okay. Before I forget, we have a groomer that is listening in Australia who has a client that's moving to Hawaii, Kailua, Hawaii, or in that neighborhood. So if there's a groomer that's listening to the podcast that would be willing to help this lady by grooming her dogs when she arrives in town, go to our discussion group, facebook.com/group/thegroompod, and contact this groomer. Scroll down and look for her feed and get you guys together because she's looking for some contact over here in the States. So there you go. So what's up with you?
Well, a couple of things. I got a letter from Panagenics, the president of Panagenics.
Not the attorneys from Panagenics?
No, okay. No. You know, well, I don't know why you were worried. I wasn't too worried because I knew exactly what I said and what I hadn't said. I did get kind of reprimanded by one of our listeners about maybe disparaging a product instead of disparaging a product without communicating with the company. But this kind of worked. We got their attention.
Yes.
So did you want to talk about this right now, or did you want me to hang on and talk about it in another segment?
I want to talk about this now. You have totally piqued my interest, and okay. I need to know. It's a need-to-know thing.
Okay, so my first clue was I did get some kind of an inquiry from someone that wanted to know my email address, here's the letter. I'm finding it, and the letter is from Scott Coleman, who is Panagenics Inc. president, right? And here it goes. The ownership of Panagenics would like to apologize to the general public for any verbiage regarding our products that have caused confusion. The descriptions for Panagenics products and the use of gelsimium were written by a former contractor of the site. Since our separation from said contractor, we have updated and corrected all of the verbiage for all of our products on the new Panagenics site. The new Panagenics site can still be found at www.panagenics.com. We want to make it clear, gelsimium is not now nor has ever been an ingredient in any of our Panagenics products. Panagenics has always manufactured at an FDA-approved lab, which does not use ingredients that are not approved by the FDA. Gelsimium is not an FDA-approved product. Gelsimium is a holistic product which can be used for anxiety. It is sold by a company named Boron, one of the many. It is not a Panagenics manufactured product. In addition, said contractor made several false claims stating that our product would, quote, genetically enhance, unquote, coat. Panagenix, the corporation, has never claimed to change any genetic makeup to coat. Enclosed are the full list of ingredients that are in our Panagenix products. Lastly, enclosed is a copy of a lawsuit filed by Panagenix against the former contractor. Once again, we profusely apologize and accept blame regardless of where it should lie. Since our separation, Panagenix has hired a team of scientists for development of new products and ensuring the safety of your pet's consumption and use. Thank you very much for pointing out this misleading information and allowing us the opportunity to address this in a timely manner. If you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to contact me. Thank you, Scott F. Coleman, Panagenix, Inc., President.
Well, that's pretty cool.
So it's cool, but there are a few little loose ends, okay? One loose end is that they sent me screenshots of the ingredient panel of the shampoo and conditioner, but not the hydrating mist, which was the original product that I was seeking information about. That was the product that somebody asked me about.
Right.
So I need to get back to Mr. Coleman and ask for that third product. And then the other thing that's kind of wonky is this business about an FDA-approved lab.
That caught my attention, too.
Yeah, you know, the FDA does not approve labs. And it's also kind of interesting that they call their production facility a laboratory rather than a manufacturing plant. That's just semantics, but it's laboratory connotes science, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was wondering myself. I was wondering if he had maybe been doing it in a kitchen, because kitchens can be inspected, but I'm not sure
the FDA can inspect a manufacturing plant. If there are complaints, or especially if there are complaints about adverse effects of products, the FDA can go in there, and sometimes they find unsanitary manufacturing conditions or this and that, or, you know, and give them a kind of a thumbs up or a thumbs down. But they don't license laboratories or manufacturing plants. There isn't an FDA approved stamp that they can get. And also, ingredients are not approved by the FDA.
Yeah, I heard that too.
So, yeah, so which does not use ingredients that are not approved. This is a lot of negatives that are not approved by the FDA. Well, the FDA doesn't approve ingredients. And, you know, the FDA really does very little in the realm of pet grooming products, which they call animal grooming aids. And they make a clear distinction that animal products are not, that cosmetics, the term cosmetics is only that which are applied to humans. So you can't have, you really can't have animal cosmetics. You can't, you can have animal grooming aids, and they're not regulated by the FDA.
Any chance it's in English as a second language issue?
Well,
I don't know. I mean, I'm just curious, because it seems like that's a possibility. My little bear is being very unruly. I'm going to send him over there. He keeps poking me in the side.
Uh-oh.
I know. This guy's nice. This guy's naughty.
Okay. Well, no, I doubt that.
Okay.
I doubt that, but I am going to get back to them and ask them for the ingredients, the ingredient panel of the hydrating mist, and talk to them a little bit about this FDA approval stuff, because, and the other thing is that I went back to Amazon to see, to look at the hydrating mist and see if anything had been changed. So they took out the reference to gelsinium, but they still have this disclaimer that makes me uncomfortable, because it acknowledges that you do not hold them responsible for any adverse effects, including da 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 and death.
Maybe involved with the lawsuit.
So and the lawsuit names the contract, and the lawsuit makes it clear that they're talking about
this is why I hate live shows. Oh my god. I won't be able to come back in and
wait a minute.
I can't fix that.
No, wait a minute. You don't have to fix it. It was just a brain fart on my part. I will be right there. It's our favorite scoundrel. No. Lepuch is another thing.
That's another scoundrel.
That's another thing. No, wait a minute. Where's my letter? Let me go. Just hang on.
I guess I should go.
Okay, so how many people guessed Eric Salas?
I did not. Oh, that guy.
That guy, our favorite scoundrel.
Okay.
I feel for Panagenics, because this is just an ongoing cleanup that they've had to do after this Eric Salas stained their product name, stained their reputation, stained their stuff with his over-the-top claims and verbiage.
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll move past it, because it seems like they have some interesting products to offer.
They do have interesting products to offer, and their shampoo and conditioner, they recommend, they do the closed, open, closed thing. They have you put the conditioner on first.
And then wash it afterwards, and then condition?
No.
Just the co-wash thing?
You put the conditioner on first, and then you let it sit even overnight. Well, that's not going to happen at my shop. And then you apply the shampoo. There's kind of more interesting stuff associated with Panagenics that I'd like to be able to explain to people, and I do empathize with them trying to clean up after this former contractor has kind of besmirched their brand.
And we don't really want to be part of that. We want to be part of helping them get away from that. So
yeah,
I'm certainly glad they reached out.
I'm glad they did too. And I'm glad that we have kind of a dialogue going now. And we'll talk a little bit about this FDA stuff. And
thanks to whoever brought that up on the list. It was an interesting point of discussion, and here's where we ended up. So that's the beauty of our discussion group, eh?
Yeah. No, I don't ever feel Well, that was interesting what I just did on my laptop. Don't ever feel that you can't contradict me or call me out or, you know, I'm not perfect. I am not perfect. And also, you know, I'm not a chemist. I'm not a cosmetic chemist. I just play one on Facebook. You know, I don't have chemistry credentials. I'm self-taught, but I have good sense, good mind, and I have ethics. And so that's what you can count on from me. But I'm not the last word because I'm not a really credentialed cosmetic chemist. In fact, the reason that I bring that up is that one of my favorite bloggers, who's a blogger in Australia, she wrote a blog kind of bitching about fake cosmetic chemists. And I thought, oh, I'm busted, you know. So I just kind of promised that I would qualify my authoritative statements, and every now and then, at least to let you know, I know that I'm only qualified up to a point, you know.
You are qualified in a lot of other areas, like especially the customer relation area. You know, that's one of the areas where you have a lot of schooling. You may not have a lot of practical schooling, not the kind you get a degree with, but the amount of hours you've put into the research of this, I swear you should get an honorary degree. You've got one. I'll give you one. The Groom Pond gives you one.
Well, thank you. And you know, the trust that I have gained from the grooming community is so important to me, and I really appreciate that. And I really want you to know that I'm still in a learning process, and I'm very willing to learn, and I'm very willing to. I don't want to just trash companies and trash products. There's always a reason why I bring something to attention. So that's that.
Well, I like that. I think it's an interesting learning curve and an ongoing discussion, because we're going to learn more about this, I know, in the future. Yeah. So we have a new Patreon person.
Oh, good. Who is this?
It's Capri Brown. And it's the one that we were talking about, the shampoo line.
Or
the shampoo choices, depending on which way you look at it. And don't you know, she was appreciative of my brain.
Your brain is great too.
Yeah, well, you know, it is unique. It sometimes comes from a different angle. Sometimes I see the words, but a different message comes out. I can't help it.
Well, that's why there's two of us.
It's true.
Yeah.
So my locally sourced dog cookies showed up yesterday. Federal Express in a doggone hurry. That there was a pun. They're lovely. They are beautiful. They smell delicious. They don't have any animal products in them. They're good locally sourced ingredients. It's a bakery that's within 50 miles of my house, actually within 20 miles of my house, but there's a lot of water involved in that. But it's very cool. I haven't tried them yet because I came in last night, but I'm really excited. But I did find out something that was really a bummer.
What?
Has to do with my trinket, my little can opener doohickey that everybody.
No, what?
Yeah.
Maybe
well, I
China?
Thought. Well, so I got bit by the parrot. Yeah, that's you. Got bit by the parrot. I got bit by the rat. Right.
Oh, God. And your fingers.
I know. I had my own fault. I had put whipped cream on my finger, and they're from the shelter, and they didn't know, and they didn't win. So I have all these owies on my finger. It's just awful. I'm limping around. It's bad. But now I don't remember why I was telling you that. What was I talking about?
Your gadget.
Oh, yeah. So I can't open the Pepsi cans. Plus, I've got the splits on the end of my fingers, at least 3 out of 5. So I took my little Pepsi can opener and I went like this, and the tab broke in half.
The tab on the can. I'm the kid. Oh, shit. That's a oh, shit moment.
Well, yeah, because Pepsi has made their cans so cheap. They have a little divot to eliminate, I guess, just a little bit more aluminum. And if you take the can prior opener thing, part of the can opener, and like this, the can folds and the tab folds in half. So now I have to give everybody the can opener with the discretionary mention that it doesn't really work very well for at least Pepsi cans, which makes it even funnier.
Boy, if it would work for cat food cans, I would love it because I have to do it manually. And
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, you know, like dog food and cat food cans, they have fairly heavy tabs.
Plus, if you wanted to drink a bottle of beer, it has a bottle opener, and I bet the bottle opener side works well, but I've not been able to test it because I don't drink anything with a bottle opener needed. So, but what a bummer. I went,
And so that's what you get for not testing out a gadget before you buy 100 of them for gifts for your customers, right?
That's okay. Everybody still thinks they're pretty funny.
You know, and we don't really care how well those gifts work. We just it's the token. It's the, you know.
Yeah. You know what else I love? I love the Best Shot product line. The whole dang product line. And I have been using the spa line as my holiday scents this time. I'm using the Berry Amaretto, which has just smells delicious. I'm using the shampoo and the conditioner, layering it on. It's a fabulous setup. I mean, it's just wonderful. I can't say enough about it. But that is not the point of this. The point of this is there was a really funny post on Facebook about a dog that smelled like weed.
Oh, yeah. How to kick pot.
And it made me laugh. And I instantly thought of, well, first I thought of a 12-step group, you know, how to get the weed smell out of the dog, send him to a 12-step group. But anyway, needless to say, my second thought was Best Shot, One Shot system, which is the 3-step system that has that odor neutralizer. So I just wanted to throw out there to remind everybody, if you've got a really stinky situation, the owner smokes or the owner's mother smokes or the dog smokes or, you know, they smell like weed or whatever, anything that you've got going on, if you want to do some odor neutralizing, the Best Shot, One Shot is your go-to place. And you can find them online and at your local distributors like Cascade Grooming Supply. All right, let's head over to our first appointment, which is really a story from Barbara about a difficult dog that didn't want his head done and the operant conditioning that they did to make it better. Tell me a story, Barbara.
Well, I now have like 3 or 4 of these client animals that will not let you mess with their heads. But the dog that I had yesterday is a puppy. He's probably almost a year old now because they've waited, but he's a Scotty. And he's taking the place of our favorite Scotty, Arlo, who unfortunately passed. But Arlo was a character. And we loved him, and he was a fairly handsome Scotty, and they had him in full coat. So, you know, he was one that I got to do the real, for real Scotty profile. So Willis is his young replacement, and he is gorgeous. He is drop dead. Put this dog in the ring. You know, that's the kind of, he's got a naturally arched neck that is, he's just so handsome. And he won't let me do anything around his face and head. And this was maybe his third time in. And, you know, since I last saw him, and maybe even since I last talked to you, I have been reading a little bit about fear-free veterinary care, you know, the whole fear-free thing.
Right. And I think there's a link on our group somewhere. Yeah, if you scroll down.
I've been reading Sophia Yin, and she was totally into operant conditioning. And we know operant conditioning, more familiar with the term clicker training.
I didn't know the operant conditioning term. That one's new to me.
Yeah, yeah. So Susie, you need to get onto this operant conditioning for your rats. You've got subjects there that are wonderful toys to play with operant conditioning, because rats, they get it right away.
My clicker broke. I need to go get a new clicker or find a new or a different noise.
Yeah, I have tons of clickers from previous efforts, but I just suddenly I got it that I started working on this dog's head, and he started doing this jerking around and dangerous behavior, and Yvonne rushed to my side to put him in a lock position and hold his head for me with both hands. And I said, wait a minute, we're not gonna go there with this guy. I said, I want to get him to realize what we want from him. And just wrestling with this puppy over and over again is not gonna do it. And Yvonne kind of went away sulking.
I could see that.
Because she highly values her grandmother skills, her calming skills, and her holding skills and all of this. But Susie, I just didn't want to do it with this puppy.
It's not the right thing to do.
I said, it's not the right thing to do. I said, you know, I chased everybody away. I had some liver treats that I broke into small pieces. I got my clicker, and I just started working on having him let me touch the top of his head with my scissors, with my little thinning scissors. And he would let me touch, and I would click and treat him immediately. And within 5 minutes, we had associated the click with the treat. Okay, so that's the first thing. You got to charge, you know. And I just worked on him like that for, I probably spent a half an hour on him. And I got more done on his head than I've ever been able to do.
That's wonderful.
In fact, when they picked him up, they just said, oh my God, he looks good today, Barbara. And I said, you know, I'm doing this thing. And so, Susie, you know what I'm going to do? I've been trying to find a local trainer that would work with me and offer grooming table training.
Yes.
It ain't going to happen.
You have to do it.
I have to do it. Yep. And I'm just going to work it into my extra services thing, just like dematting.
So good plan.
I'm going to call it table training. You know, it's going to cost about $1 a minute, you know, and I'm just going to take these problem children and do this work. And I have determined that it needs two people. You can do it by yourself, but it's really hard to groom and clicker train at the same time, because you need more hands.
Yep, I understand that.
But
that makes
you know
sense.
What? But I really moved forward with Willis, getting him to understand that what I wanted was for him to hold his head still.
I want to hear stories of other people using these techniques on their grooming table and ways that I can apply it. I have a funny story about clicker training and me.
Okay.
So I have a trainer friend who works with Australian Shepherds and Border Collies herding dogs, and she works with them with the clicker, does obedience, does agility, all kinds of stuff like that. And I had never experienced clicker training other than what I see at the animal shows and the amusement parks and things like that. I watch them do a form of clicker training, and I know it in principle. And she goes, well, here, let me come over and teach you. So she she went to the store and got a bunch of jelly beans. And what she wanted me to do was to figure out what she wanted me to do without her telling me what she wanted me to do, as if I was the dog, right?
Right.
And I was just trying to get the jelly beans. I was trying to figure out what behavior was necessary to get the jelly beans. I completely failed. I couldn't figure out. And I don't know if it was because she wasn't effectively communicating to me, but she works with really smart dogs all day long. I can't imagine why. And I'm not stupid. I can't imagine why I didn't pick up on what she was trying to communicate. But then I went, well, darn, maybe this isn't the right method for me. And I haven't had to use it. And I do have great success with the ways that I do it. But I think that with the rats and with Huckleberry over my head, that both of them would be really, really fun to clicker train. So I think that's an impressive thing, Barbara.
And you know, it really is clicker training. Operant conditioning is how they teach rats to do mazes, how they teach birds to do agility courses. You know, how they teach the birds to play basketball and stuff. You know, it works so effectively. And the dolphins are all trained through clicker training. Zoos use them. And it's really a tool. It's just takes time, and you have to figure out how to get money for your time. If you know, and so you really tend to drop everything and say, I don't have time for this shit. Give me your whiskers. You know,
yeah,
you know? Just tie them up. I'm getting it done. No, I'm just going to step back and just call it an add-on service and require it for these animals that I'm having difficulty doing their heads.
I have a doodle, one of the doodles at the house, a double doodle at the houses that I inherited from Mrs. Mobile. And he is just coming on about a year and 2 months, and he's challenging everything I do. He's a good dog. He's not mouthy. He's just strong, and he's wrestling with me for everything. I think this technique would be really good for him because he's very food motivated.
Yeah. That's the one requirement. They really need to be, you know, treat motivated. And that's why it works with my Maltese, but it doesn't work with Belle the Bichon, because she can just turn her nose up at a treat and say, nah, I don't want to play this. I don't like that.
I've never known a rat that was healthy to turn away from a treat. So that explains why it works so well for them.
Yeah.
Even when your finger's behind the treat.
So I'm excited, and I know I'm not the first one to do this. I think Pam Lawrenson does desensitization, and she does operant conditioning at the table. But I have approached this before and kind of given it up because of the time factor. Now I'm just going to embrace it again and charge for it.
One of those really good things about mobile grooming is I have no distractions. It's just me and a tiny trailer and the dog. And I do a lot of systemic desensitization. I don't do the clicker training, but I want to add it in because I'm sure it'll help me out. Plus, the food motivation for the rats is definitely there. I think I could really have some fun with these two new rats. They're a lot of fun. They're really well done.
Yeah, and it, you really need to use the clicker. If there's anybody in there that says, well, I use treats to train, but I don't use a clicker, you really need to use the clicker, because that marks the desired behavior. Doom, right on it.
It's the language that crosses the barriers between the behaviors. Yeah.
Yeah, between the two species.
Yeah.
And Yeah, I know. And I have to, speaking of which, a little aside, I try to teach my employees not to use the term good boy unless the dog has been good, because they do this typical thing about commanding the dog to be good. You be good.
Oh, be yeah, that's boy. No good.
No, man. I said, you just neutralize the power of that term. Don't do that unless they are good. Then you can say good. But I just, you know what? I found myself, whoa, am I still there?
Yes.
Did you get a big spray of color on my screen?
No.
My screen just went black and then just went all psychedelic on me. And wow.
Ooh, I hope you're not losing a video card, but that's another language also.
Don't even go there.
Okay. I won't go there.
So what I found myself doing with Willis was using yes. As I clicked, yes, yes, yes. You know, like, because that was sincere on my part. Yes.
So you want to, so tell me the process. You want to get the, you load it up by treat, click, or click, treat. Which is it? Is it treat, click, or click, treat?
It's click, treat.
Okay. Click, treat, click, treat, click, treat. You do that a bunch of times without requiring a behavior.
Yeah, well, I just started right wanting the behavior. I mean, I just started. I didn't really spend time charging the clicker because it gets charged in the first 5 minutes, you know.
Okay. And then you do the grooming behavior that you're trying to promote, which is touching the head, right? So you go in and you touch the scissors to the head, then you click and give a treat, right?
Yeah, once they let you, you know, like, I wasn't even able to, it took a few minutes for him. In fact, he had to get distracted by something and looked away from me, and he was still for a minute, and I touched his head and I clicked and treated right then.
Okay.
You know? Oh, and then he turned back and looked at me. You know, you can see them starting to get it.
Especially with puppies. This is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
This may not be so good with a painful old dog because they're going to say, screw you. But a puppy, this is a fantastic way to make grooming a positive experience for the first few times, especially if you start it at the beginning instead of having the couple of wrestling matches before you do it. But I mean, even with anything under 2 years old is going to really respond to this, I would think, maybe even a little older.
Yeah. You know, I send home homework and it doesn't work. Because the people aren't consistent. I mean, unless you're focusing on doing the operant conditioning, just kind of being playful or gentle, or, you know, it doesn't do too much. I ask people to incorporate handling the face and the head with their
and
the feet. But this goes a step further, and it just really helps the dog know, because they get on that table, they don't know what you want from them.
Like me and the jelly beans, I had no idea what she was trying to tell me to do. I think she was trying to tell me to turn around in a circle. I think I finally eventually got it because she put her hands on me and physically turned me around, clicked and gave me a jelly bean. But at that point, I was cranky and I really wanted the jelly bean. You know, it was just, I was getting frustrated. I was like a golden retriever without a brain. What? Where's my jelly bean?
Yeah, so you see, that's a mistake on her part.
Okay.
She picked too hard a behavior. You know, like, sometimes you got to step back. You know, you don't actually want to have to scissor. You want to just touch the darn head with the scissors, you know?
All right.
And then I was able to kind of extend the touching into two or three cuts with the scissors. And by the time that I finished working with Willis this last week, it was interesting because once he gets that there's a connection somehow with being still and the scissors, he will allow you and you can extend the period of touching before you give the treat.
I like it.
Yeah.
You know what else I like? I like the smell of the South Park Blueberry Facial because I'm kind of a smell girl, and I like their facial the pet wash, the foaming face wash, the foaming pet wash. That's what I like. The foaming pet wash.
Spit it out.
They do really do a good job with crafting their products. They are a great sponsor for us, and they are also a new subdivision of Show Season, another sponsor of us. So take some time, get to know the Blueberry Girls South Park line, and that's what I have to say about that.
Yeah. So listen, since you mentioned Show Season, I'll tell you that my Show Season product du jour is groomer's mud for your hands.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Thanks for that.
Groomer's mud. Now, this isn't groomer's mud is a made with what you could call a shitload of shea butter. It's high, way more than most human cosmetic lotions and stuff. It comes in a jar, it's thick, and it's just what the doctor ordered this time of year, you know, to use. I keep mine at my bedside, and I use it every night before I go to bed so that my hands are soaking in all of that good shea butter all during the night. Try to keep your skin, the more you can keep your fingertips pliable, Susie, the less they're going to crack, because that cracking happens when the skin is dry and stiff, not when it's well moisturized and pliable.
Yeah, I think I should get some of that stuff. If I'm looking for it, I bet I can find it at showseasongrooming.com, or I could phone 678-382-2. Whoops. Try that again. This live show. Or phone 678-382-0218. Or if you're already set up with them, you can email your order and get the wholesale price that way. But you can also find them at Groomers Mart and my favorite Cascade Grooming Supply. Let's go back to school, Barbara. What do you say?
Okay, I'm ready to learn.
Okay.
Ready to learn.
Our veterinary vocabulary is a complicated one, but, you know, what the heck? I've been going light lately, so we'll go heavy duty this time. The word is corticosteroid. Do you know anything about corticosteroids?
I recognize corticosteroids. No, tell me about it.
Okay, so they're hormones produced by the adrenal gland, which are really important to the function of everyday of your cells and your organs and all of that. They are divided into two different groups, the glucocorticoids regulate protein, carbohydrate, and fat metabolism. That's important. We all know why. And the other one are the mineralocorticoids, which regulate electrolyte balances. And these are all produced in your endocrine system. So they have to do with things like Cushing's disease and Addison's disease are all related to these hormones that are produced basically by your adrenal gland and your adrenal system and all of that thyroid system and those things. So that's that. Why we need to know that, I don't know. But
I'll tell you in terms of human need to know, it's interesting to know that all of those functions that are related to the adrenal glands are one of the things that break down when you have chronic stress. Now that's when what happens when we put too much of a load on ourselves, you know, like week before Christmas, for 5 weeks before Christmas, or, you know, Saturday grooming every day of the week, or grooming 7 days, not just once, but over and over, chronic, repeated, a situation, a work situation where you're overworked, underpaid, and miserable, you will actually have adrenal breakdown. And all of those things that are related to this corticosteroid functions will start to fail.
And they don't rebuild, from what I understand. You actually have to start replacing them with pills and stuff. And nobody wants to do that. Boo, yeah. Yes, we don't like to do that. All right, grooming glossary. We're going back to colors. Roan, okay. R-O-A-N. Do you know what color roan is?
Well, I had a roan horse once. All right, roan is a term that I learned from my horse time.
I have one out in the front yard.
Kind of a, it was kind of speckly, silvered kind of thing. What's the official definition?
The official definition is a fine mixture of colored hair with white hair. And if you think English cocker or cattle dog or spaniel, you know, those kind of mixed models. So you've got some lemon colored hairs and some white colored hairs. I have a silver roan horse. So she's black, but has white ticked hair. So it's interesting. And you can see dapples on her as well in the summertime. Not in the wintertime. She just looks like a black sheep right now. Because it's been cold here, miserably cold. Like 26 degrees in the morning cold.
No.
Ugh. Yeah. But now we're more like 38 degrees and daytime temperatures up around 42. So much better.
I would be paralyzed.
Oh, it's not so bad because it's not raining. Well, today is raining in 38, and I prefer.
That's death to me.
Yeah, I prefer 30 and under and clear and cold and dealing with water, frozen horse water and tanks and heaters and all that stuff than 37 degrees and raining. 37 degrees and raining is wet and miserable and cold. It soaks in all the way to your bones. And you just feel like you're rusting, like right in place. It's bad. It's bad.
I feel like that anyway.
Yeah.
So that's why I need to be in this nice, warm, dry Arizona climate. I mean, when it gets down, I start to suffer under 50.
And I start to suffer over 72.
That's why we can never live together.
It's true.
It's true.
Okay, Barbara, your turn. Definition du jour.
Okay, so I picked a little term. What is an occlusive agent?
Yeah, I got no idea.
So an occlusive agent, I'm wearing my false glasses. But
they're so cute.
I know, but wait a minute. They're not doing the job.
Yes. Behind the scenes stuff going on.
Here it is. An occlusive agent would be an ingredient, a moisturizing ingredient that increases moisture level in skin by providing a physical barrier to epidermal water loss.
Oh, like the finger stuff.
Like the finger stuff, yeah. Yeah, so like the hand stuff, like the gloves in a bottle.
Yeah, my magic gloves in a bottle.
Includes a silicone that is an occlusive agent. So an ingredient may have the property of occlusivity. That means it tends to form a barrier. And an ingredient and silicones can be occlusive to water, but they still let air through. So it's not necessarily a total barrier. Very common in past use ingredient that is an occlusive agent is mineral oil.
Oh.
And, you know, we used to have in the old days, mineral oil is a common ingredient in some pet grooming products. We don't see it anymore, although I ran into it in one of those lists of Le Pooch.
Really? Because yeah. I am sensitive to mineral oil.
Ah.
Yeah.
You know, mineral oil fell out of favor because it's a petroleum derived product and because it's a little greasy.
It right? is a little greasy. Baby yeah, oil, yeah. if you don't know, is mineral yeah, oil.
Baby oil is a very light mineral oil. And we used to use mineral oil as eye drops to protect the eyes when we were using dips.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they use it to get the second motor out of the canine too. You swab the whole interior of the canister with yeah. mineral oil and you get it into the gasket and you get it all around the edge of the motor and then you have to pry it out. It's really difficult, but mineral oil is part of the key to getting those motors out. Go figure.
Yeah. Go figure.
Yeah.
So,
So it's in the Le Pooch shampoo. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is interesting. I'm having an overview of the Le Pooch ingredients that were provided by Michelle Mitchell. What is his last name? He's Ravioli, I call him, but it's really Raviole.
Okay.
I call him Mr. Ravioli, but he doesn't have to know that.
Michelle.
Michelle Ravioli.
Yeah, the Le Pooch dude.
So I think that he freaked out when he went on the shampoos in the grooming industry Facebook page to herald and his new fragrance.
Yeah.
Which is Forever Pooch.
Because it did pop up everywhere else. He hit a lot of groups.
Yeah, he went into a lot of groups to kind of herald his new fragrance and forthcoming line of products. And he accidentally stumbled into
Oops.
the Facebook group that has a passion for knowing ingredients. and instead of getting all these accolades, which he was expecting, oh, goody, goody, he got, hey, where's your ingredients? We've been waiting to hear from you. You know, what is this with the deliming anyway? You know,
everybody was all over him like flies at a picnic. Oh, it was unbelievable.
I know. It was a feeding frenzy. And he went back to his office and said, quick, I need ingredients. And they gave him these old, I think these were like notes from 1986 or something, you know, right. And they threw these at him and he threw them up on the Facebook and just said, here, take this. And then he disappeared forever.
Yeah, not likely to re-arise again in that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, because we started immediately saying, well, this doesn't look like a real ingredient panel. This looks like maybe trade names.
The idea, the visual of a cow going into the river where the piranhas are, and 2 minutes later, there's just basically some skeleton with meat hanging off. That's what happened to Michelle and that group. I shouldn't laugh. It was aggressive.
I empathize because I know he had no clue about this group, or he would have said a little something, or he would have, you know, like I know that he had to feed us some red meat. And
well, to his credit, he is, I don't know if he's the one, I kind of get the feeling he's the one that creates the fragrances, that puts the blends together. If he is, He is magical. I love their fragrances more than I love any other fragrances, human or pet. Le Pooch de Noël has got to be my favorite smell on earth that you put on yourself. I love Le Pooch de Noël. I mean, that you put on the dogs. Did I say yourself? Did that slip out?
Oh my. Yeah.
I love it. I love the smell of it. It's Prince William pears. I love their apple, the one that's called Palme de Noël or Noël de Palme or something, or it's Pooch de Palme. That's it. Le Pooch de Palme. It smells like apples. It smells like fall. It's delicious. I don't love every one of their fragrances, but you're right. They're completely differently blended. They are expensive. They're way overpackaged. Way overpackaged. Like you could put it in a clear spray bottle and I would be just as happy. I don't need the crystal bottle with the label and the bells and the fancy pants stuff. I could do without that, but I can't do without the smell.
Yeah, but see, but that's their marketing image, because they really have chosen to do the highest end marketing image, and it goes along with their high prices and marketing on the concept that if it's the most expensive, it must be the best. And that's their niche. That's where they are. Well, in terms of their ingredients, and you know, I want to give Michelle Ravioli Raviol.
Oh, that's forever going to be in my head now. Poor guy. I hope I meet him someday at a trade show.
I'm sure it's not the first time. I'm sure it's not the first time Raviol has been called Ravioli. But at least it makes me remember his name.
True.
You know, so I think on his behalf, on his benefit, to thank him for making the effort to feed the hungry ingredient fish
here.
On this list and put something out there. And I know he wasn't prepared for what I did when I came in and then translated that into actual ingredients. And
yeah,
you know, but there are clues amongst those the items that he listed that suggest that this is very old material, like, because some of the I ran into some discontinued trade products, you know, by the trade name, they don't sell that form anymore, that kind of stuff. So I think this is kind of formulary notes from a long time ago.
Right.
And I'm not sure that it's really today's ingredients per
right.
se.
Probably not exactly. It's probably evolved some since then.
Yeah. But it does, nonetheless, it does give us a better clue of what's in these products than we've ever had.
And I have to say, of all of the products out there in the many, many, many different products line, Le Pooch F&T has been the controversy of the century as far as what their ingredients are and whether to use it and whether not to use it and to use it on cats. And, you know, if it didn't dry my hands out now, I know why. It didn't dry my hands out so bad. I would use it more often, but it smells delightful. I love the way it's, well, once again, because they fragranced it. It smells delightful for me. Yeah. I love that orange smell. It's wonderful. But yeah, that was fun. That whole thing was fun. And okay, well, we've got a few minutes left. We're going to talk about school curriculums, or what didn't you learn in school? But neither one of us actually went to school, so it's an interesting question. And that's not how Dave asked it. But I wanted to interject here. I am just totally digging my Evolution shears, new shears, the ones with the better edge. It makes all the difference in the world. And I'm going to have to get a pair of the curves of the better quality shear, because I'm loving them now that I've figured out how to use them. And I don't regret not getting the better cut ones over the rough cuts first, because I needed to learn how to use them. Now that I've got them under my control, if you will, and I'm not bouncing around like a basketball player on a court. I am so loving those swivels, and I'm ready to graduate to a better pair. So I wanted to say thank you, Chris from Evolution, and Abby and Ron for being great sponsors. And really, thanks to every one of our sponsors for continuing to support this little podcast that is now 4 years old. And let me switch hats and switch hats here and put the birthday hat on. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday, dear Groom Pod. Happy birthday to us and many more. Hey, if you guys want to wish us happy birthday, do it on the Facebook page so that we can read it and keep it forever, and that Facebook will remind us about it many years to come. All right. Thank you, Evolution. And let's talk about the things we wish they taught in school. Wait, I feel naked. I have to put my hat back on. Got to put Minnie back on. Got my ears.
That's such a great hat. Operant conditioning.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that every grooming, that we should all have a segment of operant conditioning under our belt so that we learn what mistakes we make in handling these animals, as well as learn this as a tool for promoting better behavior on the table. So I'm wishing that I had had operant conditioning as a part of my my apprenticeship.
Can I piggyback on that?
Yes.
I would like to have had some body language instruction, like an hour of pictures up on a slideshow, like I've seen it done at a seminar before, of dog body language so that I could help interpret when it's okay to approach a dog and when it is not okay, especially when you put your face up to unknown dogs. It's just helpful if you have a little bit of the language before you start the grooming process. And I think that schools miss that part. They just miss the handling, the clicker training and behavior training, and also the body language. And body language is important for us in safety reasons. It's also important for us to be able to see bad structure and lack of soundness in the dogs. So I think body language is another thing that should be lumped in with that.
Yeah, I would have liked some, in retrospect, some canine anatomy, which I kind of picked up through extended education and seminars with people like Michelle Evans and our leaders. But I would have liked to have started out with a little bit more of that.
Luckily, I didn't get an education from a school, but I got an education from someone who was straight out of the Nash Academy. And she came with all of her notes and the Nash curriculum. So even though I wasn't trained by the Nashes, I was trained through their recommended curriculum. And in that was a lot of anatomy, which I wasn't understanding the value of at the time, but now I get it. I understand it. It's applicable later. It's like learning fractions and then you don't use them for 20 years and all of a sudden you become a seamstress and you have to know how to work with fractions to make circles and stuff. And yeah, it's kind of like that. I, of course, you know, this is going to just be straight Susie the groomer. Some business management classes as an optional. Like, I realize that not every groomer is going to go out and open their own shop, but I think that the schools should have a little bit of responsibility in offering maybe an hour or two in business prep. And I don't think they ever do that. That would be one of the things I would throw in. Anything? It's your turn. I'm throwing the ball back to you.
I hadn't come up with anything.
Okay, I got more. Not to worry.
Okay.
along with that, in that as an optional thing, how to set up your business. The other part of that is how to deal with employees, employee conflicts, and customer conflicts. I think that those, they may not be for everyone, but I think that they should be offered at the schools. Here's something that should be offered to everyone at the schools and mandatorily introduced. And I think that it's offered sometimes, but most of the time ignored. And that is intake. The intake of the animal, the talking to the client, the touching the animals, the determining what the haircut is going to be, the language of that particular dance. We were talking about dances earlier in shampoo. This is another dance we do regularly in our business. And that interaction with the client determines how well the end result goes. Because if that communication goes badly and you miss the point that the lady wants the dog short and you leave an inch and a half of hair on it because that's what you like, but she kept leading you along, although maybe not directly, dropping hints that she didn't want to have to deal with hair, and then you left an inch and a half of hair. That is getting missed in school. They don't teach you how to talk to the clients in school.
Yeah, communication skills. I agree with that. And of course, I would like to see some basic information about what's in the bottle, product ingredients.
Oh, of course. Now,
just a basic, you know, there again, a single segment would probably get people started, but just so that you don't go ignorant about what's a surfactant for 20 years. That's what took me, was 20 years before I got any information about what went on with shampoos.
And how about equipment that may or may not be at your school? Like the clipper vacs and the lip systems for the tables. And most importantly, the difference between the different bathing systems, and especially Barbara, the one that you offered, the recirculating bathing system. And I wanted to give you a plug here, a moment to plug your Bathing Beauty sales on your website, because we haven't done that for a while. And this is a nice opportunity. They should be teaching everyone how to use these tools. Barbara, tell us about your Bathing Beauty deal.
Well, yes, I want to remind people that the Bathing Beauty recirculating system is a great Christmas gift to yourself
and your business,
and it will allow you to groom more dogs with less backbreaking work. It speeds up the bathing quite a bit, but the deal that I have is that I am allowed to sell four only Bathing Beauties every month at a price that's $100 less than the manufacturer's retail price. So you get a $100 deal when you buy from shop.bbird.biz.
And it helps Barbara out on top of it. But the deal is, we had a question on our Facebook page of how to make your business more profitable. Using things like clipper vacs and bathing systems and restraint systems are all ways to cut time on your grooming, and cutting time is the way to be more profitable. One of the ways, anyway. Another way to be more profitable, and the last thing I'm going to touch on here before we bail on you guys, is maintenance, tool maintenance. I think that tool maintenance gets ignored. I think that we talk about cleaning a little bit, but about maintaining, not so much, especially things like the dryer maintenance, the clipper vac filters, things like that, I think get overlooked. And then when something breaks, even the most basic of things in your clippers, people panic and they end up having to pay somebody like my husband to put their dryers back together unnecessarily. So I wish they just gave a little bit. Once again, an hour would be fine. If they did an hour lecture every morning in class and then sent you off to grooming, I think that would be helpful. And I think you could include some basic equipment maintenance, just common sense stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Because how many groomers have clippers in sitting in their back drawer that just need a new blade drive assembly?
Yeah.
You know, you should be able to do that. We all should be able to do that. That's not like taking the whole thing apart and putting it back together. That's just like
a couple screws.
Yeah, a couple screws.
Yeah. It's funny because since now that we've stuck our nose into the dryer repair business, I had a suspicion that there's a lot of people out there who have extra dryers in the back room that don't work for whatever reason. The switch broke or they dropped them a few times, whatever reason, an undiagnosed piece of equipment sitting in a closet that you have already replaced and are using the new piece of equipment for. So many people. So I called the vet hospital I used to work for and had a little chat with him the other day. And I said, hey, by the way, Terry's fixing grooming equipment. And so if you have anything, he was in Utah at the time. He flew home. He was home now. And he called me. They had four double K560s, and a K9 II, all in their back room broken.
Wow.
I know. And I bet there's a bunch of people out there who have done the same thing, who've got extra clippers, extra dryers, extra stuff that is sitting in the back room because we never learned how to maintain it or fix it. And because now we don't have time. So we're too darn busy doing the thing we love, which is grooming dogs, which is what we're going to do the rest of the next 3 weeks as we zoom forward to the holidays. But Barbara, more importantly, happy anniversary to us, to our partnership, to this wonderful, wonderful thing we do here on the Groom Pod. I still can't believe it. I have to pinch myself every Sunday morning as I rush to write the next show that we still get the opportunity to talk to all you guys. The five of you who are listening, thanks for being here with this morning and watching me bobblehead around, which I've tried so hard not to do. You can't imagine how hard it is for me to hold still. Oh, geez. Barbara, would you like to tell our listeners anything?
Oh, no, but I want to tell you that thanks for including me in this dream of yours, because it's just become a delightful part of my life. And I love Sunday morning. I love picking a topic and going on deep on it, and or even superficially just Googling around, finding information, sharing. It's just turned out to be a very workable way in which I can make a difference as I get old and creaky and cranky. And I love you for it. I love doing it with you. I can't believe it's been 4 years already. It just seems like maybe two.
I have a
New Year's resolution too.
Oh, tell me about it.
I have a couple of things. I sometimes don't wait actually for December to be over before I start thinking about what I want to accomplish in the next year. The first thing that I'm going to do, and it's happening, is I'm going to reignite the Groom blog to be a place where I can put up some of these ingredient lists and information. Wow, are you there? I just went blank again. Where I can put up some of the information that I share on the Groom Pod in writing, so that people that don't get it or need to see it in writing and can go get it there. I'm going to put up all of the lists of the decoding of the Le Pooch products. That's my first project. Might as well put it up there, right? So that people can go and see what we're talking about.
For sure.
And, you know, so the product reviews, the DDG,
show notes.
Yeah, just a little, just a, not a complete notes for every show.
Yeah. I can't even get one note up on the website or the Patreon site because I'm so darn busy. I'm just too busy.
Yeah,
but now that I had all those dogs die off, I'm hoping it'll open up some time.
No, I'm really gonna make a commitment to do this. And then the other thing that I wanna do is I'm going to separate out my groomer's glossary from my book. And I'm going to work to amend and revise the groomer's glossary, and then all single product and by itself, so that groomers can have a reference about ingredients, definitions in my words that include how they're used, and just a little bit more groomer friendly. So it'll be a groomer-friendly glossary of terms and ingredients.
Sounds more like an encyclopedia.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, maybe we should make it an encyclopedia. Just a thought, just thinking out loud. I guess that's it. I guess we should call this party quits. What do you think?
I don't want to go.
You know what I'm doing today? I'm going to have lunch with Brandy.
Oh, say hi to Brandy.
I will, because she is looking at a Sprinter van, a Hanvee Sprinter.
All right.
Yeah, so we're going to go talk about that, the little grooming lunch, which, you know, it doesn't get any better than that. I'm sorry you can't be with us. We're going to have Mexican food in your honor, though. How's that?
Oh, okay.
Yes, thinking about you down next to the border. All right. Thanks, guys, for being with us. Thank you always for tuning in and subscribing and clicking through the Amazon banner, giving us the support and your love on Patreon, the donation button, all of that stuff. We appreciate it all. And we will meet you here next week on the Groom Pod. Happy grooming, everybody. Bye-bye now.
And take care of yourselves. We love you. We need you. Bye-bye.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.